Hi, my name is Dana Hamal, here with Fahari Wambura on June 25, 2018, at Fahari's wonderful shop in Chatham, New York, as part of the Oral History Summer School Hudson project. I met Fahari a little while ago. I was put in touch with her through the founder of the Oral History Summer School, Suzanne Snyder. And here I am, speaking with Fahari. Fahari, could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Fahari Wambura. I'm from Tanzania, but I live in Chatham, Old Chatham, New York now, and have a shop in Chatham.
Thank you. Could you please tell me about yourself and the things you would like to share about your life?
So I moved to the US about, now that I think about it, about 7 years, almost 7 years ago. And before that, I lived in Dar es Salaam. We lived in New York for 2 years. And then in 2014, in January, we moved to Brazil, where we were planning to live for about 5 years. But things didn't work out as we'd planned. So we came to upstate New York to visit a friend of my husband's in Hudson. We were waiting for work visas, but ended up staying here. And initially we lived in Ghent, but now we live in Old Chatham.
What attracted you to the Hudson Valley?
So for me, I remember life in New York City and how isolating it was. And the only time we got close to nature or felt like we were in nature was when we came to upstate New York and stayed in Hudson and went to different camping sites and being in the woods and cooking on a fire and just being in the wild seemed for me normal because that's what I kind of grew up with. So, being someone that has two kids, I wanted my kids to kind of experience that freedom of being outside, being in nature, playing with mud, playing with sticks, and running around without me being worried that maybe they're going to be run over by a car or something bad is going to happen to them. So I feel like it's the freedom and the feeling like you're almost in a village that attracted us to the Hudson Valley.
Do you go to do you go to Hudson, the town
Yeah.
itself?
So even though we live in Chatham, I feel like we go to Hudson a lot, especially me. I usually do markets in Hudson, but I've also done pop-ups on Warren, and we go to eat there. We try to go to events that take place in Hudson. We sometimes go to the library, the riverfront, and also the little park with our kids. So we do spend quite a bit of time in Hudson.
You mentioned you have children. Do they go to school around?
So my two boys, I have two boys, they are 9 and 6, and they go to Hawthorne Valley. And the reason why I think that's a good fit for them is because it's a whole different approach to education and how kids learn. I feel like it's important for my kids to be in touch with their whole being, like understand who they are and the relationship between them as humans and animals and trees, the environment around them. But I also want learning to be a good experience where it's age appropriate and the child doesn't feel like he's being pushed, and I don't feel like I'm pushing my child. But also being in a community where the intention for kids and learning is similar, because I believe everybody that sends their kids to Hawthorne Valley kind of has that in mind, the kind of education they're going to have and how they approach education in general. So I feel like it works for me, and I would prefer them to love learning, and they do love going to school. So for me, that's is an indication that they love what's going on in school, when they can wake up in the morning and be excited to go. Or even now, school is over, but they're already like, I miss going to school. So that makes me feel like they're in the right place.
Do you, what was your own childhood was like, where you were? You said you were from Tanzania.
Yeah, so I grew up in a village in northeast, I'd say, Tanzania, right on the border. And for me, growing up, me and most of my siblings went to boarding school, which meant we spent more time in school than we did at home. But when we were home, life was busy, I would say, because we had lots of chores that we had to do. So we kind of worked more than we played. So the day would begin with either waking up very early. I remember we used to wake up around 4 a.m. or 4:30 and go to the fields and be there until around 9 or 10. And then after that, you'd come, eat some breakfast, and there'd be more things to do, whether it's watering plants or going to fetch firewood, or going to get water from the stream. There was always something to do, and playtime was very short. So I cannot say play played a big role in my life when I was growing up. When I remember my childhood, I remember working very hard.
When raising your own children here in America, do you think about your own childhood and also make reflections about back home?
Yes, like I feel like before I was exposed to the American culture, I was thinking about parenting and parenthood the same way I had experience being parented. So those were the, like, anything that I was going to do as a parent was, how would I say, was influenced by how I would have been influenced by how I was brought up. But when I moved to the US, I quickly learned that parenting here was different. And one of the big differences was spanking, and the other difference was communication. When I was growing up, there was no communication between the parent and the child unless the parent is telling you what to do. So that's the kind of relationship we had with our parents. We didn't sit down and tell stories and tell jokes and hang out. They just told us what to do all the time. And there was no room for argument or saying you're not happy about a certain thing, or even expressing your feelings. It not necessarily about the things they're telling you to do, but even just emotional, like, oh, I'm sad and I feel this way. There was not, we didn't have that kind of relationship. But I'm happy when I moved here, I learned to be a different parent, which I like. Like, I feel like children are human beings too. They have rights like we grown-ups have rights. They need to be heard, they need to be listened to, and they need to be taken seriously. So it makes me happy the kind of relationship we have with our kids is not necessarily that of parent-child, but there's also friendship, like a strong bond of friendship and trust. That if my son doesn't feel like doing something, he'll tell me, I don't want to do it. And instead of getting offended and feel like my child is not listening to me, I most of the times I reflect on me and my own feelings and when I was told to do things, and sometimes I was tired or I didn't really want to do the thing that I was being told to, but I didn't have a voice. I couldn't speak. I was scared. I was worried if I said something, I'd be spanked or I'd be told off. So having my kids be able to do that, to have that freedom to talk about their feelings, to talk about what they want or do not want to do, makes me happy. And I feel it's a good kind of parenting, because for me, it's just putting myself in their shoes and thinking this is a person and they have feelings and they have ideas and there's things they like and things that they don't like. So the same way I feel things, I think it's the same way my kids feel, and I don't want to be this person that's constantly telling them do this or do that and things have to be done my way and not your way. So I'm open to sometimes seeing their way and their perspective and respecting that and knowing that it's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm spoiling my kids. It just means that I'm treating them with respect and understanding that they're humans. As much as we as grown-ups are humans, they have the same feelings. So I want us to be on that level. Like, I don't feel like by listening to them, I'm putting myself beneath them. I feel like we need to be on the same level, kind of respect. I respect them and they respect me.
Do you have support, or how many other adults are involved in parenting your children?
So we are lucky that we have a few families that are good friends, and we became friends through our children. And it's people I can name. I have two that are really close. They're like family, and anytime we need a place for our kids to go, they can go there, and we're happy, and we know that they're safe, and we appreciate that they treat them that like they treat their own children. And when they see that our kids are doing something they're not supposed to be doing, they're not afraid to talk to them about it. So they're teaching them the same way we are teaching them. They're not saying, oh, that's not my child, oh, I cannot say this, or if I did this. I feel like most parents kind of are afraid if they're a little hard on someone else's kid, maybe the parent will not be happy about it. But I appreciate that. I appreciate another parent trying to guide and teach my child. So we have two parents, but more than that, but two that are like family that can be like a parent figure to our kids. So two is may seem like not a lot, but I feel like here it's a lot to have that, like people that are not your family, but they've become family through friendship and you trust them. But there's also lots of other parents from where my kids go to school that I trust, that have our kids for play dates and we have their kids for play dates. So it is a big community. We don't feel like we are lacking in any way when it comes to that.
What is the household dynamic between you and your partner in terms of parenting?
So we are lucky that we are mostly on the same page in terms of how we want to raise our kids, what we think is good for our kids and what we think is not good, the things that we cook or the things that the toys that we want to buy them. Like on very many levels, we are on the same page. But I can admit that I'm a little bit more strict. And it's not like I'm making excuses. That's how that's how I was raised. It was very strict. So obviously, aspects of that experience still, you know, I'm still that person. I have changed. I've tried to change a few things that I can, but they're just things that are so deeply rooted that I cannot change. That come out sometimes, like being very strict, being very schedule oriented. Like we said, we're gonna do this thing at 8 a.m. I feel like it has to be at 8. Like I don't have room for. I can be very spontaneous, but I'm also very rigid. I don't even know if it makes sense. These things that I'm very rigid about, these things that I can let go, but mostly I'm that kind of person that if I set out to do something I want to do it within the framework that I planned it to happen and exactly how I'm thinking in my mind that it should happen. But my husband is a little more laid back, so he's the one that is most indulging. Like he will leave everything else just to read with the kids or to play with them or to do an activity with them. But for me, depending on what I'm doing at that particular moment, I'm the one that will be like, oh no, I'll do it after I'm done doing this task. But my husband can let go of that and do something with them and just, you know. And he wants to, not because he feels obligated to, he's committed in that way that they're more important than anything else. So we're different, but I feel like it's a balance that you have one parent that's a little strict, and then you have another parent that's very indulging and spontaneous. So they don't feel like, oh, our mom is too hard on us, or our dad, you know, there's freedom, but there's also an aspect of strictness, and it's mostly me that's strict. But it works fine. It's never, obviously, we disagree, but it's not to an extent where it's a problem, like a big problem. It's just normal, everyday things that sometimes I have my perspective, and sometimes my husband has a perspective, but we normally kind of work it out. Yeah.
What was your past work experience was like?
So I worked before I moved to the US. I worked for a newspaper. It was called the Daily News. It was the national newspaper. It was owned by the government. So I can say it was very conservative, and the reporting was in a way that was always glorifying the government. But I'm very, how can I say? I feel like I'm very opinionated or opinionated. And also I'm very, when it's things that I care about, it's hard for me to not do them the way I want to do them. So when I started working for the newspaper, I feel like I had a different perspective than most of the journalists I was working with. I did get in trouble a few times, an editor saying, no, we cannot publish this unless you change it. But I always would stand behind a piece, especially if what I'm reporting is not made up. I'm just telling the story as it is. And the other thing about working in journalism was it was mostly men. It was a few women, but dominated by men. And it's just unfortunate that there was always this culture of feeling like, oh, it's a woman, we can take advantage of this person however we want to, whether it's verbally or, you know, touching or saying inappropriate things. I feel like most of my colleagues felt like they could do that. And there were no consequences because I don't think before I came to the US, like even the issue of sexual harassment never crossed my mind. You know, someone says something inappropriate and you're just like, oh, you know, if you don't agree what they're saying, you know, you just brush it off. But you're not saying this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. We kind of just get used to it. to sexual harassment. It becomes like a norm, like it's the thing that men do. So you live by it. And it's not just the people that you work with, it's the people that you go to interview, like CEOs and ministers, people in powerful positions, always feeling like, apart from the fact that you're writing, you could do something else, you know, with them, which was unfortunate. Yeah. So that was the nature of the work. You just had to be, you just had to remember why you're doing what you're doing. And for me, it was almost always proving myself. When someone says, oh, I'll sleep with you in no time, just proving, you know, just wanting to prove that person that this is not who I am, you know. Or when someone says, oh, I can write better, you know, like it was always this competition, like trying to prove, like, I'm a woman, but I can write, you know, I can write. I'm not trying to compare myself, but just to prove to you that it doesn't mean just because you're a man, then you're better off at writing something than I am.
What range of subjects or topics did you cover in your column?
So in my column, I wrote about any, it was an opinion piece. It was about anything. It could be about food, it could be about behavior, it could be about things that people that live in Dar es Salaam do, and that's why it was called Crazy Bongo. Bongo is Crazy Bongo. Bongo is like a street name for Dar es Salaam. So Crazy Bongo is just about the crazy things that people did in Dar es Salaam, or things that happen in Dar es Salaam that you wouldn't maybe happen anywhere else. And I wrote about these things to call attention to certain aspects of the culture and the society, but in a way that was funny. So people were never offended. They just laugh, you know, acknowledge the thing and also laugh about it. It was just my way of expressing sometimes frustration. Yeah, but in a light way, not serious.
Did it require traveling?
So the opinion piece was just about the city, Dar es Salaam, and it included my experiences within the city. But I did travel for the paper, to go to different regions and cover all kinds of different issues. And when they sent me to a region, sometimes they didn't tell me, oh, go cover this. They just sent me to a place and they trusted me to find something worth writing about. So I'd go, I'd interview people, or I'd talk about water shortage or electricity, or I'd find a woman selling fish or whatever, doing a small business, and do a profile on them. So it was a mix of different things. It wasn't a specific topic, even though it mostly dealt with people. And that's what, and I feel like those are the stories that I like to tell. When it's about people, then for me, I feel like it's interesting.
Were you aware of, or did you know, how receptive your readers were on your writing, or what, or if you had influence on, you know, individuals or society through your writing?
Yeah, there's a few times where people either wrote, or I met someone that would say they. Actually, there were a few. Like, I'd go somewhere, and when people find out it's me that writes the opinion piece, they tell me they read it every Sunday. Maybe they buy the paper just to see what I wrote. And also when students came to the newsroom to intern, they would mention that maybe a professor pulled out a piece that he used to teach. Or sometimes an editor would point out to my colleagues, oh, this is how this should be done. And I feel like it like when people are talking about it that way, you kind of feel like, oh yeah, people are getting the message. Or when NGOs seeked me out specifically to cover them or write something about the organization or something they're doing, it just made me feel like they were getting what I'm about and kind of feeling that I was right for whatever job they wanted me to do. So yeah, I feel like they were getting it. And people always did ask, even now people still like, why don't you write something? You should be writing, you know. So just people asking me to go back to writing or commenting on them on the articles that I wrote makes me feel like it did something.
What are your days like at the shop now compared to your, journalism
Journalism.
experiences? And, how, what are your days like here in Chatham?
Like now that you say compared to my journalism days, like I feel the aspect that hasn't changed is dealing with people. Like listening to their stories or sharing my stories or using products that I have in my shop to communicate to people about my culture and where I come from and life in Tanzania, and just trying to get people to be more understanding or to understand where I come from and how that it's like that, how that is like, and the differences, but also the things that make us the same, you know. But when I come to the shop, my everyday same thing, I guess. Like it's never the same. It's all different experience. I might come here in the morning. Usually when I come here, same, I have a ritual of burning incense or spraying mist that some of my friends make. And for me, that's a very personal way of putting my intention out there, my good intention. I'm thinking about it. I'm just not making the place smell good, but my intention is to be inviting and warm so that when anybody walks into the shop, they don't just feel like they're walking into any other shop. It's this, I don't know if I can use a spiritual, say spiritual, but it's this feeling of I'm accepted here. It's okay to be here. It's okay to express myself. It's okay to be me. You know, I don't want anybody walking in and feeling like this place is not welcoming, like they can't be here, they have to walk. I want people to come in and feel welcome and spend time here. If they want a hug, get a hug. If they need to talk, talk. If they need to cry, cry. And people do that, and it makes me happy that people can come in here and feel comfortable. So the same things and the same intentions that I had when I was writing and how I wanted people to feel and how I wanted to receive people and the impact that I wanted to make, I feel like it's happening here, but just in a different way. Like it's not the same thing. It's similar thing in a different setting. I'm not writing, but I'm talking and expressing and sharing and embracing. So it's similar, just a little different. And I do still write. Like some days I just write my own feelings or ideas that I have or poems, just to keep that part of me that I cannot forget. Like I feel like writing is just in me. I cannot get rid of that. It's always there. There's always a need to express myself or to let something out, and that's how I do it, by writing, even though I'm not showing it to anybody, but it's just a thing that has to come out.
Do you bring your relationship to Tanzania in your writing, in your everyday writing
Yeah, I
here?
think I do, because what I write, mostly what I write about is my experience. So my experiences are mostly there. So when I write without even thinking about it, it's in there. Yeah, I'm talking about a place, but not mentioning where the place is. So no matter what, it's still represented, and it's still talked about without mentioning the country or the place.
Well, I'm just curious about your. You said you were writing about Tanzania. Do you write about or your experiences or anything about place here, the Hudson Valley, or your relationship to the city or the area in general?
It's so crazy. All of my writing and the place that it's always coming from is my childhood. Like, I feel like my childhood played a huge role on who I am today. And I can never escape from that. Like, anything I do, I feel like it's all, when I look back, it's all connected, whether positive or negative. Like, when I want to do good, it's in relation to my experiences when I was growing up. Like, maybe it wasn't very good. Like, for example, when I'm talking about raising my kids, like, I'm borrowing from my childhood. Like, oh, it was like this. I don't want it to be like this. I want it to be different. But when I talk about here, mostly I talk about the relationships that I have with people. I do talk about here, and it's mostly about relationships and experiences that I've had with people and how much people have given to me, you know, and how, even though I'm from a different place, the people that are around me and I engage with all the time, make it that I don't feel like I'm from so far away or I'm different. I just feel like I found a place and I belong there. Like, I don't feel like I do not belong. I feel like I belong. So I feel like when I talk about here, it's always in relation to how I have been accepted here and what I have been given.
Do you have any memories or experiences or your observations of the city of Hudson or the Hudson Valley in general that you would want to share or would like to share?
Like, I feel like when the thing that I feel like I'm blessed to have experienced is it not how would I say it? It's same-sex relationships. I grew up in a place where same-sex relationships are illegal, and it's like it's against Christianity. It's wrong. But when I moved to the Hudson Valley, and to be able to see that, and to have friends that are gay, and to know, you know, like, we for like all the things that you learned or you were told was right and wrong about same-sex marriage, for me here was a learning and unlearning, like unlearning all those things and opening myself to having a completely different perspective, and also teaching you to be very accepting and understanding and knowing that we as human beings, that's what I have concluded for myself. Like, we don't know, you know, like, we're just here. You kind of try to do your best and do all the good that you can, but we don't fully know anything. Like, there's nothing we know. Because you come here and same-sex marriage is acceptable. You go to a different place, it's not. But all that is based on what we know and what we don't know. You know, there's no place where you can say people here have figured it all out and they're right and other groups of people are wrong. So I feel like the best thing to do is put yourself in a position where you can be able to learn and be open and, you know, give love and accept, unless someone is murdering someone. Oh, no, I know, like there's some things that are just universally wrong that you can say, yeah, it's okay to walk around and kill people. It's wrong to do that. But when two people fall in love and it's a man and another man, or if it's a woman and another woman, like you have no place to say that's wrong or right. So being in Hudson and having friends that are women that are married to other women or men that are married to other men and knowing these people personally has just, opened me up and helped me just, I don't know, like even though before I moved here, I did have friends that were gay and it was illegal in Dar es Salaam. But it's just another level of learning and understanding and being open and truly accepting, and non-judgmental and saying that's wrong or right. Like I'm in a place where I have accepted myself as a human being, and I know I don't have all the answers. I know I do not understand humans. We have a long way to go to figure ourselves out, who we are, what's wrong, what's right. We don't know. We just, we just try our best. So Hudson, for me, Hudson did that for me, like to just see people and accept them for who they are.
What other things that take you to Hudson activities or any? Do you
It's,
take your children to
yeah,
Hudson?
we go to Hudson, like we go to the gay, we go to the gay parade. We go to Last year, I went to, I think it was the Memorial Day weekend parade. Like any opportunity we have to go to Hudson, we go. If there's something going on there, we try and go, especially if it's relevant. Or music, I like going to when there's musicians that I like at Helsinki, I try to go. Yeah, but I've never brought my kids there. Yeah, but the other stuff that goes on in Hudson, we have been, and we try to go. And I feel like now that I might be in Hudson even more, we'll be able to do more stuff there.
You said you might be in Hudson more. Do you?
Yeah, so I'm opening a shop in on Warren, right opposite Kasuri, this Friday, and I think I'll be there a lot more, maybe on a maybe. Two, three times, at least 3 times a week.
I know you do have other things and you do have a meeting very soon. Is there anything you would want to share about your family, yourself, Hudson Valley, Chatham itself, if there is anything you would want to share?
For me, it's just the feeling of community. Like, I feel like I found a good community here, and there's a lot of like-minded people. I feel like I can relate to a lot of people. There's lots of makers, there's people that are intentionally trying to do good in the world. And I appreciate that because I feel like that's what I'm about. My intention is always to be of some kind of service to other people. Like, it doesn't matter whether I'm helping in a big way or a small way, but just feeling that I'm giving the little that I have to others, whether it's my time, whether it's listening to someone, whether it's giving someone something that makes them happy, whether it's sharing. I feel like a lot of people around here have that. Hudson, Chatham, Ghent, like people have that. And it makes me feel good for myself, but also for my kids. I wouldn't want to live in a place. And even if there are people that are not that way, I have not experienced that. Like everything, most people that I experience are nice and they are kind and they are loving and they are giving. And those are all the qualities that I admire in other people, and those are the things that I aspire to be. Like, I want to be kind, I want to be loving, I want to be accepting, I want to be understanding, I want to be non-judgmental. So when someone and when and that's the kind of spaces that I like to create. I want a space where anybody can come in, you know, no matter who you are, you can come in here and be treated with respect, be treated with kindness, have someone understand you for who you are, and not feel like, oh, I'm not wanted here, or I'm being judged. I don't want that. I want it to be a place of equality. We are all equal. I don't care what titles you have outside the door, but I just want you to come in, respect me, and I respect you on the same level. And I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm treating one person better than I'm treating the other person. I want everybody to come in and be treated the same way, you know, just as humans, without titles, without anything, just you as a human being. It doesn't matter if you're on the street, it doesn't matter if you have nothing, it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire. When you come in, I want us to be on the same level, like the same level of respect, same level of understanding, same level of love and kindness. So, because at the end of the day, that's what we are, you know. The rest is just titles and things that we have, but we are humans first before all the other things. So, but I feel like a lot of people have that. Like, I have experienced that. I haven't experienced rejection or mistreatment or going home feeling like, oh, that person treated me this way because I'm like this or I'm from a different place. I have been treated kindly, I can say that, around in the Hudson Valley. And maybe that's why for me this feels like the right place for me and my kids to be.
Thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure meeting you and speaking with you.
Thank you. It's
Thank
been
you very much for
thank you.
sharing
Thank you. Thank you too.
your
Thank you for
experiences.
coming.